Hi, I'm Kat.
And I'm Emma.
If you love the Dead Parent Club podcast, you can help support its future using the Acast supporter feature.
Now, it's up to you how much you give, and there is no regular commitment. So if you can and you want to, please do hit the link in the show description to support now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, welcome to the Dead Parent Club podcast, a community of like-minded young adults who are all grieving a similar loss. I'm Catherine Hooker, and I speak with inspirational people from all over the world whose lives have been impacted from losing a parent at a young age. In this podcast, our guests will tell their own grief story, discussing how their losses have impacted their lives and the path they have found themselves on. We laugh, we cry, but together we've come to realise that we are far from alone in our own grief journeys.
The lessons that my nan and Ken tried to instill in me anyway was to always be kind. Like, I don't think there is a person on this planet that could ever say a bad word about my nan or Ken. But I think even more so now, since their passing, everything is so unexpected. I did not expect to come home that day and to never have seen him again. So, you know, I just try and be a light in this world.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Dead Parent Club podcast. It is a Sunday morning for me right now as I'm recording this intro. The sun is shining, and I think it's going to be a really beautiful day. And I hope you're all kind of getting by okay in this lockdown number two. I just want to take a moment to thank all of you that have signed up to my Patreon program or have given a one-time donation to the podcast. It literally is funded by you, for you. Like, without you guys, it wouldn't even be able to exist because I couldn't afford to run it. So thank you so much to all of you. If you do want to donate, I'd be so grateful. And there are links in the show notes. So this week's podcast is with a lovely girl called Nicole. Now, this is the Dead Parent Club podcast. And for some of us, our parents aren't always our biological parents. It could be grandparents, step-parents, step-grandparents, your cousin, your auntie, basically anybody who is a parental figure in your life. And I think it's really important that we shine a light on this. And in this week's episode, Nicole will be telling the story of her losing her nan's partner, Ken, who played a huge role in her life. They brought her up since she was 4 years old, and Ken passed away when she was 17. So Nicole talks about how kind of that affected her life, how people didn't really acknowledge her grief as such a huge thing because he wasn't, one, a biological granddad, or two, you know, a direct parent, even though to her he was the closest thing to a parent that she has ever had. And then we also discuss how she was forced to kind of grow up so much at just 17 years old and how difficult it's been to kind of grow up into the woman that Ken always brought her up to be. This is a really beautiful episode, and Nicole is just super positive and just lovely to talk to. And I just think it's just such an important thing to shine a light on. So I hope you all enjoy it. Don't forget to subscribe and to leave a review if you find it useful. It helps me reach more people. And I hope you all have a lovely week. Talk to you all soon. First of all, Nicole, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
It's my pleasure.
I'm like, not in a weird way, but I'm kind of looking forward to sharing this story just because I think it highlights that like parental grief sometimes doesn't just stem from parents.
Yes, very true.
So yeah, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself and then, you know, giving us a brief insight into who it was that you lost, and I don't know why for you that was, you know, so similar to a parental loss.
Hi, I'm Nicole, and I'm 24 years of age. I'm from the Wirral, which is just over the water from Liverpool. And my story is a little bit different because my grandparents actually brought me up. It was my grandmother, so my mum's mum, and her partner Ken. So I actually did call him Ken and not granddad, because I also had my biological granddad who I lost when I was 14. So they brought me up since I was 4 years of age. So I saw them pretty much as my mum and dad. I spent every single day with them up until the age of 17. So I went to sixth form. I was in my final year, so year 13, just about to do my A-levels. And it was actually one of my best friends at the time. It was her 18th birthday the next day. So we was absolutely buzzing, like just talking about all of our plans for the weekend. We had parties to go to. And then I wanted to make her birthday special, and I said, I'm going to get like loads of helium balloons and decorate our common room. So I was going home and I had loads of balloons in my hand, and I was walking down my road and my neighbor came out and she was like, Ken's had a fall. So I was like, oh, okay. Like, and at this point it was pretty normal for me. Like, I'd experienced a lot of times where Ken had a fall or my nan had been in hospital. So I wasn't really too worried. Went into my neighbours, I rung my nan and I was like, nan, what's going on? Do you need me to come to the hospital? Is he okay? And never in my wildest dreams did I ever think that she'd turn around and say, he's had a stroke, he's got a blood clot on the brain, and I don't know what to do. And my whole world then just crashed down. Because I'd never been without him. He was housebound. So every single morning when I got up, he was up. Every single night when I went to bed, he was there. And then for him to have been in hospital was crazy in itself. But then a couple of days later, whilst he'd been at the hospital, obviously his condition deteriorated and he passed away. And it was just, you can't even explain it to people. It's so surreal in that moment when you got told they passed away, and you just think they can't, like, they were here.
Yeah.
You just don't understand it, do you? You were like, they were here, that they're the biggest part of my life. And for you to tell me like they're gone now, it just seems so crazy.
I was talking to a friend about this yesterday, because her mum passed away last weekend and I went to go and see her and we were talking, and I was saying, like, it is so hard to comprehend how somebody can literally be there 1 second and not be there the next, and you've still got all of their stuff at home.
Yes.
Like, all of the things that makes them who they are is still there apart mm-hmm. from them. And I think it is like the hardest thing to process. I honestly think anybody ever does. Like, I think it's just too much.
Like, that was when I was 17. I'm now 24 and I still can't think about it and think, how was he a person? Like, sat on my couch, we used to watch like Broadchurch together or Pointless every night or Countdown, and now he's just not in this world. It just seems bizarre.
It's like, what was life like for you then after that, like with your nan, and who did you go to for support?
So I think that was like actually the hardest part. So one of my best friends at the time, she'd lost her dad the year before. So our friendship group, we'd already experienced like loss.
Okay.
And that was hard in itself, because I was dealing with grief, but I'd never wanted to hurt her feelings by talking about it in school. And I was head girl as well, so I had so many responsibilities and my head was just absolutely everywhere. Luckily for me, I had the most amazing teachers I could turn to. But at home, I think that was like the spiral into losing my nan a bit as well, because her purpose in her life at that time was to look after my granddad. He had quite a lot of Ken had quite a lot of health issues, and she was like his main carer, and I did a lot of like caring for him as well. And then it's like she just lost her spark. Obviously, she lost her soulmate, and you know, she didn't want to cook anymore. And Nan's quite a very private person, and she didn't really want to talk about him too much, whereas I love talking about like my feelings, and I need to get them all out there because I don't like them bubbling up inside. And I wanted to talk about him, and I wanted to cry, and she was very much of like, she didn't want to cry and she just wanted to get things done. And he used to say, I was like, I used to find it bizarre how she didn't cry. And she'd say, I cry when you get to bed. She was like, I don't want to cry in front of you. I don't want to upset you. So we grieved in very, very different ways, whereas I was like a mess. And then I had my family saying, you've got to be strong for Nan. And it's like,
so much pressure.
What about me? Yeah. What about my friends and what I'm going through? And I felt like at that time, I was 17. I still, although when you're 17, you think you're an adult. Mm-hmm. I'm still a child, and I feel like I was forced to grow up a lot during that time.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then Nan actually got diagnosed with Alzheimer's the year later. So it was like a double whammy of you're grieving for the person that was like my dad, and now I'm sort of losing the person that was like my mum as well. And we were a team of three. It was always just us three. So it was like I'd lost my whole world. Like, my reality was completely different, and I was 17, like trying to navigate my way through like becoming an adult and making important decisions, like going to uni. Should I go to uni? Should I leave my nan? We had like this massive house where it was just going to be her living there. So yeah, it was such a difficult time for us.
Yeah, I can imagine it must have been really hard. Mm. I think you mentioned before about your friend who had lost her dad.
Yeah.
Did you feel like any kind of pressure or like any kind of feelings that people would numb down your experience compared to hers?
Yeah, that's actually one of the big things that I found really difficult, because a lot of people would say, well, he's lived a good life and he was in his late 70s and, you know, like, it's sort of like, not like it's okay, but, you know, you can't be too upset because he was old and he was a granddad, not a dad. Mm. For me, it's like, well, I've got, like, I'm so glad he lived a good life, and he really did. He had so many stories to tell. But it's like, but now I'm 17 and I've got my whole life without him. He's going to miss important things. And but yeah, I really did feel like a lot of people made my pain less because he was older, which is something I found so difficult.
Yeah, I can imagine that being really hard. Like, did you ever have anybody that you felt you could be like, you like, this is honestly really, really hard for me? Like, it's not just like, it's not losing a grandparent, it's losing like a dad.
Do you know what, as sad as it sounds, I actually don't think I have had that person. Because my family sort of put the responsibility of like, be strong, and maybe I hid it so they didn't realise how much I was suffering at the time. But the person that I would go to with my problems was Ken, and he was no longer there.
Yeah.
I never wanted to put that pressure on my nan either. So yeah, I don't think I've ever gone to anyone and said like, this is how bad it was for me.
Yeah, no, that must have been really difficult, because I think, you know, a lot of people do say, you know, oh, grandparents, like, it's expected, it's not as bad as losing a parent. But like, when that grandparent basically was your parent, like, you literally had that relationship with them. They were the one the thing is with losing a parent is that they're the people that you go to for everything.
Yeah.
Like, and they're the people that you can rely on to be there every single day. So I think no matter who that person is biologically to you, like, yeah. You know, it's like if somebody loses a step parent, people say the same thing, like, yeah, or at least your biological dad and stuff. And I do think this is such an important message to share, because I think for a lot of people, their grandparents, the people that bring them up, for various reasons. So I mean, not makes you feel any better, but completely understand. Yeah.
And I think as well, like, for people that have lost their grandparents who were acting as their parents, it's a different type of appreciation, because, you know, my nan and granddad didn't have to take me on. Like, my nan and Ken did not have to take me on, and they chose to when I was 4 years of age, say, okay, her parents couldn't look after us like as well as a child would need. We'll take her on as ours, and we'll look after her, and we'll bring her up. So although it's normal when you're younger and you don't sort of understand, when you get older, you're like, that was such a big thing for them to do. They could have just said no and enjoyed their retirement, but they literally gave me the most amazing upbringing that I'll always be so, so grateful for, because although it was different to others, and, you know, I'm very different in other ways to, like, my friends and people my age, but it's all because of them. And I just wish I could have the chance to say that to both of them, really, and just say, like, words would never, like, express how thankful and grateful I am for them to have done that.
No, 100%.
If they didn't, like, so, so different.
Yeah, like, you mentioned before how, like, you were forced to grow up so much after he died, but do you think that that had, like, a big effect on, like, your relationships at school and the way that you kind of just, like, approached all of these big decisions in your life?
Yeah, of course. And I feel, because I took a gap year in the end, because I just felt so bad leaving my nan in, like, this massive house, and it hadn't even been a year since we'd lost Ken. And I just said, I was like, I'm going to stay here. And in the end, that did turn out to be a good decision. And then I ended up going to uni the year later. But it's still, like, milestones in your life that you just wish that they were there for. So getting my A-level results, going to uni, graduating, or even, it's like the big things that you miss, but it's even the little things, like when Liverpool win, like, he was such a big Liverpool fan. And whenever I think of Ken, I always think of him sat on the couch, like, cheering for Liverpool. And I think, oh, I miss them times that you just take for granted, like walking into the front room and he'd be sat there or just asking advice. And I think it's really sad for me as well how he doesn't know me as an adult.
Yeah.
Everything so he built me up to be, all the advice, how he's resilient and so strong. And, you know, he was so clever, and he'd make me sit there on Saturday mornings teaching me the craziest things, like, because he was a chemist, he'd be teaching me, like, all chemical equations. And at the moment, I was like, please just let me go and live my life. But now I'm like, that is amazing that he wanted to spend the time and effort to do that. And, you know, it worked out because he was the reason I did, like, so well, like, in university and things, because I just wanted to do him and my nan proud. But it's every little thing, not just the big things. It's the little things that you miss them, the most for as well.
Yeah, and it is that butterfly effect, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Even though you lose them so young, like, that loss then actually affects, like, so many decisions that you make in your life from then on. Like, so many of my family members even ask me, like, when something big's going on, they're like, what do you think your mum would do? And, like, you really channel that person as you're, like, going through your life. It was, like, it's really interesting what you said before about how, as well, like, he didn't see you as an adult. And I always think that, like,
yeah,
I was such a nightmare teenager. Like, I was literally the epitome of, like, just trouble, but not in, like, not in an obvious way. I was so good at school and stuff, but I was just very much, like, wanted to be independent, and, like, I'd lied to them all the time. I'd go out drinking, like, I just had, like, no respect for their rules whatsoever. And one of the things that people said to me all the time when my mum died, because I was 20 when she died, said, like, oh, it's really sad because you're really missing out on that relationship, which is so true, because it's not until you get older that you really value the impact that person has on your life.
Yeah, of course. And even looking to the future as well, like, you think about getting married and things, and you think, well, that person won't be there to, like, choose my wedding dress or for me, like, walk me down the aisle.
And does that really upset you when people talk about that? Because it's, especially as we're getting older, it's such a hot topics.
Yeah, even recently I've after being single for years and years, got into a relationship, and I was talking to him about it last night when I said I was going to be on this podcast. And I said it's made me sad because you'll never get to meet him. And although we tell stories, like, you tell stories about your mom and I'll tell stories about Ken, it's different to actually knowing the person. And that's what I find really hard, like, you're missing out on introducing them to the parents and, you know, like, them getting to know them and it's hard for people who haven't experienced loss as well, because you know that they're trying to make you feel better when they say, like, oh, but he'll be looking down and he'll be so happy.
I hate it.
Yeah, it brings comfort, but at the same time you're like, but I want them to be here. I want them to be happy for me and for me to see them be happy and tell them all these things, and they're not. And sometimes when people are like, well, they can hear you, like, you just tell them wherever they are, and you're like, but they're not here.
It's not the same. Yeah. It's difficult.
Like, really frustrating sometimes.
Yeah, when people say that kind of thing to me, I'm like, it's nice of them to try and feel better. But I just instantly feel awkward whenever anybody says something like that. Because one, I don't want to be like, oh, yeah, you're right. Because I'm like, well, I'd rather they were here, so not really. It's like people say, like, oh, they're in a better place now, and it's like, well, they're not, though, are they?
Yes. I mean,
I'm sure they prefer to be here with me.
I say this all the time.
I hate that. Like, no, it's not a better place. Being with me is a better place, thank you.
Completely.
So this is something that I find, like, really interesting to ask, but, like, what do you think was the most, like, or is the most helpful or valuable thing that somebody has said or done for you? It can be anything like that's really small, or somebody asking you about your granddad, or just how that loss made you feel. Like, what is it that think that somebody's done that's made you feel kind of seen in your grief?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I think giving me reassurance. So obviously since Ken passed away, we've had so many family problems and so many different opinions. And I remember it was... So he had his family as well. So he's got three grown-up daughters and grandchildren as well. And one of his grandchildren went to visit his grave last Christmas. And I don't like going to visit graves because it just makes me so upset, because I don't like to think of him in the ground like that. I just get my head around it. It makes me so upset that I'm putting flowers down when I should be going into the front room to give him presents and give him a hug. And one of his grandchildren actually messaged me, and she was like, I can't believe you're just getting on with your life and you haven't been to visit the grave and put flowers down. And I was with my friends at the time, and then just them reassuring me and like making me feel like I'm not a bad person, which I know I'm not, for not going to the grave. But them just saying, like, people grieve in different ways. There's no right or wrong way to grieve, and there never will be. If people want to be angry and they go out and cope with it one way, or if people are very spiritual and they believe, oh, everything's going to be okay, they're in heaven, they're looking down on me, there's no right or wrong way. And people just listening to me and listening to my worries as well makes me feel so much more supported too.
Yeah, that's so true. It is hard, isn't it? Like, people never really know what the right thing is to say, but even just being like, no, like, you are a good person. Like, so it's so hard to figure out what the right way to grieve is. And I think it's only after you've lost that person for quite a long time that you realize what is good for you. Like, did you ever kind of force yourself to go there because you felt like it was the right thing to do and it's what you had to do?
To the grave, sorry.
Yeah,
there was a couple of times, like, so in the first couple of years, when we actually got the plot for him and everything, because he was actually cremated, we used to go on, like, Father's Day, and I'd, you know, release balloons and things and put little cards for them, but it was just upsetting me. And then things changed, like, family-wise, so Nan wasn't as able to go up there as and like get on the bus and things, and I really didn't want to go on my own, and it always used to be me and Nan that used to go. So when that wasn't a thing anymore, I just thought, I've got my own way of speaking to him, and you know, I speak to him every day. My bedroom is covered in pictures of him and things, like old pictures of him. And even just little things, like I'm a very that's a sign thing. So
yeah,
a couple of weeks ago when I was going through such a tough time, and I'd find like white feathers or something would happen or a song that would come on that would remind me, and I'd look up and I'd just be like, thanks, like I know with me, like I can feel you around me. So that's okay. Like I know you're here for me, even though you're not physically here for me.
I love
to feel better.
Yeah, definitely. It's my it's nearly my mum's like 5-year death anniversary next week. And there's been so many rainbows lately. Like I'm loving it the day after my mum died, we went for a walk and there was like this big double rainbow in the sky, and we straight away said like, oh, that's like mum and her dad, because her dad died when she was young as well.
Yeah.
And like now every time I see a rainbow, and like every time I see like a sunrise or a sunset, or I go on like a peaceful walk, I always feel so much closer to her.
Me too.
It's so nice.
Yeah, literally. Everyone always says like sunsets remind them of me, because I'm forever taking pictures, and I always think that, like, especially when the clouds and the sun's behind it, I'm always like, you're there, like I just know that you're there.
I'm like obsessed with them, to the point where I get really pissed off if like I miss a good sunset, as in like if I'm like on holiday or somewhere near the sea. Me and my partner were away recently, and it looked like the sunset was going to be really shit. Like there was loads of clouds in the sky, and it was just really dull, and like, you know, and it just like goes and nothing happens. And it was really cold, so we're like, oh, we'll just drive back. And as we were driving back, the whole freaking sky just went bright pink and was just like glowing. And I was just like, for God's sake, like I wish that I'd stay outside now. Like I'm so annoyed, because I feel like it's like a missed opportunity to feel connected to them, which sounds so stupid, but it's just these little things, isn't it, that you do.
And as well, for me, I think a big thing that sort of made me lose that closeness was like moving out of my home. Like so obviously when I moved to uni, and you know, Nan's condition deteriorated a lot, she's actually gone to move to live with my auntie, so our house got sold. So I used to feel close, like going back there and sitting on his place on the couch and drinking from his mug and seeing where he used to go on the computer and do his work. And if that anymore, I couldn't go home, and it was just crazy.
Yeah, that's so difficult. Do you like have anybody now that you like, you know, they were your go-to people that you would turn to? Like, who would you turn to now for that kind of, just like that, like parental guidance, or just some sort of acknowledgement that you're like the young one and they're the old one?
I've actually got a neighbour from my old road who I see as like a second mum. Like she's a daughter sometimes. She's like, you pretty much are like a daughter. And I'm always going to her house for tea and things, and she's the one I go to for like if I've got problems, and to turn to about like good news and bad news. So it's really, really lovely having her. She's literally the biggest angel in my life. And she actually lost her dad as well. So it's nice that I've got someone that can sort of relate to as well. And when I'm going through difficult times, because although it's been so many years after he's passed, the anniversaries are still so difficult, and it's been still just as difficult as the very first birthday without him. So it's nice having her to, like, she can relate to that. It's probably been just, I think it's a couple more years since her dad dies after Ken died. So she can relate to that as well, which is nice.
I like properly assumed that like the first couple of like anniversaries and birthdays and stuff would be the hardest, but this approaching one now, I'm like really struggling with it. And I think part of it is because of COVID, we can't, just basically my mum died on bonfire night. So every year since she passed away, we've had all of her friends over, and like if family can make it, we have like a big chili con carne, we have fireworks, and it's just, and like one, busy, and two, it's a time for us to talk to my mum's friends about her and stuff, and it's just really nice. And I kind of feel like I've lost my crutch this year because we can't do that.
Yeah.
And I'm literally just sat here and I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do? you kind of build habits for things that you will do in those days.
Yeah, definitely.
So that you kind of know what to expect. And I think, I don't know, I imagine a lot of people are feeling the same way this year, where like their usual plans for remembering people on days like that are completely thrown out the window. So it's going to be a strange one.
It is.
What do you do on your like death anniversaries and stuff like that?
I normally just go through pictures, which is another thing actually I wanted to talk about. So Ken was never ever one for pictures, would never let us take pictures, like whether it was Christmas Day and we were eating our Christmas dinner, or back then, like, I wasn't really on my phone as much as I am now. Like, I'm obsessed with social media and things. So I've got thousands and thousands of pictures of me and my friends and my nan, but I think I can count on my hand how many I've got of Ken. So it's going through pictures, and most of them are rubbish quality because they're on my laptop webcam and not even on my phone. So I find that really, really difficult because I'd love to have just had so many pictures and videos as well. Like, I've got so many recordings of my nan and making her laugh, and I'll always have that no matter what happens. Whereas for him, if I think about it in depth, I can remember what he sounds like, and I have to really think about like his laughs. But if it's just day to day, like, I get so upset because I'm like, I can't remember what he sounds like.
Yeah, I hate that.
And it's just the most heartbreaking realization because you heard that voice every single day.
Mm-hmm. I hate that because I'm exactly the same. I do not have half as many photos of my mum as I should do. Yeah. It seems like you never take photos with the people that you're closest to, like, every day. I kick myself for it. Like, I've only got a really small selection from the last couple of years before she died, and I'm like, for God's sake, like, I even knew that she was going to die. Like, I told she had a terminal diagnosis, and I'm like, why did I not pick up the phone at every freaking opportunity to take as many videos? And it's hard, and that kind of feeling that you get when you're trying so hard to remember, like, what their voice sounded like or what it felt like to hold their hand and stuff. Like,
it's like, exactly how I feel. Like, he had I think it was about 4 years prior to him passing, and he dislocated his shoulder, but the operation was going to be too complicated and he had a weak heart anyway, so they never operated. So when I'd hug him, he'd always just give me a one-armed hug. And I just try and like close my eyes and imagine what it's like to feel him like hug me again. It's so gut-wrenching because you're like, I just miss that. Especially when times are hard and, you know, it's probably been one of the hardest years for a lot of people. And they're the person that you just want to go and hug, and you can't do that, which is so sad. And because so much time's passed away, and, you know, loads of my friends didn't know Ken, and especially like my boyfriend as well, when I'm trying to talk to him about it, they didn't know him. So you sort of feel like, who can I talk about him to?
Truly, it's so hard. Like, whenever I'm having like a really bad day or anything, like, the only person I want to talk to is my mom. And then you get even more upset if you can't talk to them. And it's just like... Life is so unfair.
Yeah, literally.
So frustrating. Mm-hmm. So, like, you kind of mentioned this before, but one of my kind of favourite questions to ask people, because it's always just such like enlightening answer, where before you experience grief, like, if somebody asked you, like, how do you think grief is going to change you as a person, I don't think you would ever assume that it would change you so much, or like even in such a positive way sometimes as well. So how do you think your loss has changed who you are as a person and how you like go about your life?
I think the lessons that my nan and Ken tried to instill in me anyway was to always be kind. Like, I don't think there is a person on this planet that could ever say a bad word about my nan or Ken. But I think even more so now, since their passing, everything is so unexpected. I did not expect to come home that day and to never have seen him again. So, you know, I just try and be a light in this world and make as many people as I can happy. And, you know, I'll never I'll always do things like I'm part of this thing called Pay It Forward. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, so I try and do that as much as I can, whether it's like buying a homeless person a meal. And you don't do it for like other people and for other people to say you're such a good person, because most of the time I don't tell anyone that I'm doing it. But it's just like, I know that's what Ken would want. That's his legacy. He was the kindest man like we would ever, ever know. And that's his legacy. He'd want me to do things like that. I want to do things like that. So, yeah, I always try and do that and just make the world a better place, because that's what he always taught me. You know, he had the most amazing views about the world, and he literally didn't have an inch of hate in him. He loved everything. So that's something that I try and keep. But I think it's made me more of an emotional person, whether you see it on adverts or on programs if someone's lost
a film,
their parent. Yeah, I find that, especially Nicholas Sparks films. I think the last song, The Notebook, is where they pass away. I'm literally inconsolable. I will.
Last song. When I first watched The Last Song after my mum died, I was like, oh my God, this is the most traumatizing thing I've ever put myself through.
It's bad, isn't it? Because you just feel, it's like you feel your own heart breaking again, because
you do
pain at the end.
It's so true, because I think you literally just do have so much more empathy. Like, you really feel the pain that other people are going through. So like
completely.
Even if it's on films or on TV, or like if a friend of mine is listening, I'm like, sometimes I'm speechless. Like when my friend whose parent died last weekend, when she told me, my heart like literally broke for her, because I knew, you know how awful it is.
Yeah.
Like, it's unbearable.
Completely. And but apart from that, I think that's it. I think it's made me realise how, as cliche as this sound, how strong I am to have got through everything. And life's just been the craziest journey. Like everyone always says when I explain my life story, you could write a book. Happened. And there's times that I'm like, I need you to come back to me. Like, please just say this is a bad dream and you can be here for all of these bad things.
Yeah.
And there's another part that's like, do you know what? As crazy as this is going to sound, I'm so glad you're not here to have witnessed all of this bad things, because it would have broken his heart seeing me be so heartbroken about things and put really, really bad things as well. So, yeah, I think that's it. But, yeah, I think it just makes you more empathetic, more resilient to everything in life. Like, anything that life throws at me, I'm like, I've lost the most important person in my life. Like, if I can get through that and I'm still putting one foot in front of the other, I can get through this.
It's so true. It literally is so true. And like, it puts everything into perspective, doesn't it? Like,
yeah,
when things don't seem to be going your way and stuff, and you're just like, at the end of the day, like in a few days time or a few weeks time, what I'm going through now won't matter.
Yeah.
So you are just able to put things into perspective so much more.
Of course.
Yes, I love that. Okay, well, my final question for you is, what would you say to somebody else who has had a similar loss to you? So, you know, it's a kind of like parental figure, and they're feeling very like misunderstood with their grief, you know, like people aren't really acknowledging how bad it is for them. What would you say to them if they were in a similar situation to you?
Again, as cliche as this is going to sound, you're not alone. I think what you're doing is an amazing thing, and I'm so glad I came across it on Instagram. Because in my situation, I don't have a lot of people I can really talk to about it. So hearing other people's stories and getting connected with other people and hearing their experiences with grief and knowing, okay, do you know what? Even if it is 7 years down the line, if I have a day where I can't get out of bed because I miss that person, that's okay.
Yeah.
I want to laugh and joke and things and he's not here or they're not there. Like, that's okay too. So I just think everything is gonna be okay for a start, and it will be. But again, like, you're not alone, and talk about your feelings as well. I feel like we've got amazing outlets where we can just let all of our feelings out. Like, on, I don't know if you've heard of the Wirral Globe. So obviously each town has their own local newspaper.
Yeah.
And Ken's death announcement was put on the Wirral Globe. And there's like a comment section. You can light a candle and things. And I think for at least 6 months, I went on like pretty much every week to just write a letter to him and say, oh, I've got my first university interview, or when our dog passed away and I was like, oh, Bertie's coming to visit you up in heaven.
Oh.
And I wrote to him and I found that really, really therapeutic, because it was like, even though it was just his death announcement and it sounds bizarre to other people, but it was like I was writing to him in a way, which was lovely. So however people want to deal with their grief, you just go and do it. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel any responsibility to take anybody else's pain on. Because at the end of the day, it's your grief, it's your story. And yeah.
Do it your way. Yeah. Yeah. Love that. Well, thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Dead Parent Club podcast. I so hope that you've enjoyed it and you found some comfort in the stories that you've heard here today. As always, I would just like to remind you that neither myself nor any of the guests that come onto the show are healthcare professionals. Therefore, if you do find yourself struggling with your grief, I highly recommend that you seek out professional help, whether that be from your GP or from the numerous charities out there that are available to you. Please also remember that you can reach out to us at any time on Instagram at DPC Podcast, on Facebook at The Dead Parent Club, and you can email us at dpcpodcast@hotmail.com. Alternatively, you can check out our website, where a resources page is also available, at www.dpcpodcast.co.uk. Also, please don't hesitate to contact me if you want to get involved in the podcast in any way, whether that be coming onto the show or to write a blog for us as well, if coming onto a podcast isn't your thing. Thank you so much once again for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.